Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for that welcome. He didn't tell you the most important thing about me. I'm a Kentuckian. I texted my pastor in Nashville this morning. He's from Alabama. I said, I'm preaching the greatest state in America today. And do you know when I was in Kentucky last? When I was here a year ago. Yeah, you know, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. They don't invite me. Kentuckians don't have me. But thank you for having me. Love being here. I barely know your pastor. I've got a feeling that he and I would get on very well if we had more chances to see each other. But thank you very much for having me. Louise is with me, TR. We brought some books. We bring them not to make money so we can travel the world. When I tell you what we sell them for, you'll believe me. They're supposed to be $15, $18, $10. Cheaper than you can get them on Amazon.com. We want to get rid of them. And do you have a Starbucks in this town? You don't. Did I tell you this last year? I think I did. Well, let's see. What do you have in town? Let's see. You've got a Denny's. See, I've got myself in a mess right now. Here's what I say everywhere. You can take any of my books and get a signed copy, have me sign it before you leave, and go up to any Starbucks or any Denny's and show them my signature and give them $3. They'll give you a cup of coffee. Think that. My latest book, just out 2 weeks ago, The Presence of God. Last 2 weeks ago, I was actually at the Cove, Billy Graham Training Center, and spoke 13 times in 4 days on the presence of God. What I will share with you in a few minutes is just, you know, like 5% of that. But do you know who Mark Rutland is? He says, by all means, read this book. $10. We're trying to get rid of them. And another book has come out this year, Worshiping God. It's endorsed by Matt Redman and Darlene Check. And it's an introduction into what is real worship of God. You mentioned last days, I've written a book called Is Your Heart Prepared for the Midnight Cry? You might take a look at it. It's out there. I don't know what your view is, Dr. Michael, but my view is the next thing to happen on God's calendar is not the second coming, but the awakening of the church just before. It's the midnight cry. So you can have a look at it. I don't know if it'll fit with what you've taught or not. And you've been teaching Calvinism and Arminianism. I don't know whether how much that would fit with what I teach. But anyway, I'm a Martin Luther man, I'll tell you that. And he's going to go to the site where I was 2 months ago. Martin Luther is my hero. Of all the people in 2,000 years of church history, if I could come back as one of them, it would be Martin Luther. Anyway, thank you for having me. Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 16, the 16th Psalm, and then I'm going to read one other verse. Psalm 16, verse 8, where David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, David said about him, and this is Peter on the day of Pentecost, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this is most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place in order that their perception of what I say will be heard as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Enable me to be very, very simple, very, very clear. And may this word be life-changing and bring great honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. These two verses that I've just read, I don't know whether you got the connection from Psalm 16:8, where David says, I set the Lord always before me. Acts 2:25, Peter on the day of Pentecost, quoting this, said, I saw the Lord always before me. Now, it's interesting. One says set, one says I saw. And we may wonder what is going on here. I want to talk to you about the presence of God. And in order to understand the presence of God, you need to see that the Bible speaks of his conscious presence and his unconscious presence. What's the difference? Well, conscious presence, that's when we feel him. And that's when he pleases us. And there is nothing like it in this world to feel the presence of God. I know what it is for the Lord to come down and make himself so real that I say, Lord, after this moment, I will never doubt you again. He's so real. And then, hours later, you think, whatever happened? What happened? One thing we know about the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is depicted as a dove. A dove is a very shy bird. Did you know that pigeons and doves are in the same family? But anatomically, they are the same, but temperamentally, they are different. You can train a pigeon. You cannot train a dove. And the dove is a symbol of the authentic presence of God. I've actually written another book. You can't buy them all, although the pastor said you should have them all. You should make sure he gets them all. He said you should have all of them. But I've written a book on pigeon religion, because the pigeon is a symbol of the counterfeit presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, the real presence, the dove, a very shy bird, and it's so easy to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, when he is ungrieved, and when he becomes just himself with us, and he makes Jesus so real, and he was that real on the day of Pentecost, that when Peter preached with the power of the Spirit, he quoted from Psalm 16, verse 8. David said, I have set the Lord before me. Peter said, I saw him. What's the difference? It's because some weeks before Jesus died on the cross and went to the right hand of God, he made an interesting comment that caused all the disciples to get into a little huddle, and they asked themselves, whatever does this mean? For example, Jesus put it like this. He said, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. So, what does that mean? And he knew they were asking that question among themselves. He goes up to them. He says, you're wanting to know what I meant. In a little while, you will see me no more. A little while, you will see me. What's going on? Well, they didn't understand it until he ascended to heaven. They didn't see him anymore. And then the Spirit came down, and he was so real, they actually got Jesus back. But not in the flesh, but by the Spirit. And so David is quoted by Peter, except David said, I've set the Lord before me. Peter says, I saw him. And it's a fulfillment of that verse where Jesus said, you will see me. That is how real Jesus was to the disciples and to Peter on the day of Pentecost. That is what the presence of God can do for you, where God is so real. And you think, I don't know how I could ever doubt him again. But then what happens when you hit a wall? God was so real. Yesterday, you felt his presence, and things were going well. Security, friends, good things happening. And then all of a sudden, God hides his face without any notice. Isaiah said, truly, you're a God who hides himself. The trouble is, when God chooses to hide himself, he doesn't give you advanced warning. If only he would say, oh, by the way, next Tuesday afternoon, about 20 past 2 in the afternoon, I will withdraw the light of my countenance. Don't worry, I'm just hiding my face from you. If only he had said that, then we'd be ready for it. But he doesn't give you advance warning. He just does it. And then you think, what do I do now? You see, here's the difference between the presence of God when he makes himself real and what I'm calling the unconscious presence of God. The conscious presence of God is when he makes you happy. The unconscious presence of God is when you get a chance to make him happy. Let me ask you a question. Which would give you more satisfaction when he's pleasing you, or when you get an opportunity to please him? Maybe you haven't even thought of that before. I don't know. But we're living in the me generation, the what's in it for me. And this is what people ask, what's it going to do for me? And no one asks, what's it going to do for God? And I wonder if there are those here today, you're happy as long as there's financial security, people are affirming you, building you up, good health, wind at your back. But what happens when you hit a wall? Financial reverse, bad medical report, people misunderstand you, and you feel so lonely, and you say, God, what happened? Where are you? What I want to say to you today is that when things go wrong, and they will, that is your opportunity to please him. Maybe you know what it is to say, Lord, I love you. I'm going to go all the way with you. I will never turn back. I want you more than anything in the world. And in heaven, God is saying, really? And he finds out whether you mean that. Whether you mean that. And I'm saying to you today, it may be only one person here. You say, RT, that message is for me. For you are experiencing that moment when God is not pleasing you by his presence, but it's an invitation to please him by affirming him. Now, how do you affirm him? Well, David, the psalmist, Psalm 16, verse 8, here's what he said. I have set the Lord before me. Now, when he does that, he doesn't mean that I'm making Jesus show up. The fact is, says David, he is at my right hand. You're not making him be at your right hand when you set him before you. He's already there. But why would David say, I have set the Lord before me? I'll share something with you that I do personally. You don't have to do it, but this is what I do. I take David's lead, and I set him before me. I picture him before me. I imagine that he's right there before me, like 2 feet away. That doesn't mean I'm making him be there. He's there anyway, so you're not making it happen. He is there. But by affirming him like that, you are affirming the word. He likes that. And when you're feeling nothing, that is a moment to please him. You may be tired, you may be ill, you may feel he's 1,000 miles away, but when you set him before you and you start talking to him, that's what honors him. You see, the way you honor him is when you honor his word. Now, there are two Greek words translated word. One is logos, one is rhema. Now, these two words can be used interchangeably. Therefore, you don't want to push the distinction too far. But basically, logos refers to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was made flesh. It refers to Holy Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, I don't know whether you realize this, but this book is the Holy Spirit's greatest product. He wrote it. He wrote it. Would you like to get on good terms with the Holy Spirit? Would you? I can tell you the quick way. Just affirm his word. Affirm his word. And that means you read it. You know, we're talking about the Great Reformation. Do you know what Martin Luther did? He wanted to put the Bible in the hands of the ordinary people, because the Roman Catholic Church, they didn't want people to read their Bibles. Luther, as soon as he was set free, he translated the Bible into German, shaped the German language. Here's the difference between Reformation days and our day. In the Reformation time, people didn't have Bibles. We have Bibles, but we don't read them. And I want to ask you a question. How well do you know your Bible? How much do you read it? How many of you have a Bible reading plan? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, your pastor mentioned, introduced me to Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan. As a result, I can say I've read through the Bible 40 times, New Testament 80 times, Psalms 80 times. Many Christians haven't even read it once. There are preachers that haven't even read it once. There are preachers that only turn to the Bible when they need a sermon. You need a plan that will take you through the Bible in a year. I'd like to think that if you haven't been doing this, and maybe you are, I don't know, I haven't asked, but if I ever come back again, that I could hear you say, I've read the Bible through. You can go online. You don't need to use my plan. They're all much the same. Get a Bible reading plan. That way you affirm the Lord. You may not feel a thing. But then there's that word rhema. Now that's very popular among charismatics. And people want a rhema word. What's that? Well, it's seen as a word of knowledge, a prophetic word. We're living in a time when people... I asked what this was for. I didn't think I'd need it, but I think maybe I do. Forgive me. People want a rhema word. They want a prophetic word. They don't have time to seek God in his holy word. They want something now. Should I marry this person? Should I go on this vacation? Should I take this job? They want something like that. It's those who'd rather go to McDonald's or Burger King than because they're in a hurry. They want something now. And they never get to know God for his own sake. You see, when you set the Lord before you, you're just getting to know him and affirm his presence instead of just wanting a word that will make you feel better. And I would say to you, if you want to get on good terms with God, and this is my word to you today, to affirm his presence when you don't feel him. So the psalmist could say, I have set the Lord before me. This is what I do. I do it all day long. And then there will be those times when you don't have to. He shows up. And this is what happened. Peter could say, I saw him. That means that the Holy Spirit can make Jesus so real that you know God raised him from the dead. You know that he died on the cross for your sins. And by the way, you see, I'm known as a word and spirit man. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Did you know I'm on TV every week in England? I haven't told you that. I'm a TV star. Yeah, start showing a little respect for me, Michael. Yeah, I am. TBN, they use me in England. They don't use me over here yet. They haven't discovered me. England, where I'm better known. I'm on four times a week. They call it Word Spirit. You see, it's my view. You may not have thought of this. You may not even agree. But because I'm from Kentucky, you're going to give me a second chance. You're going to love me. Maybe you'll come along to see it. See, it's my view that there has been a silent divorce in the church, speaking generally between the Word and the Spirit. What's the difference? Well, you know, when there's a divorce, sometimes the children stay with the mother, sometimes the children stay with the father. In this divorce, you have those that are on the Word side and those that are on the Spirit side. What's the difference? Those on the Word side, they're the Calvinists. They're the evangelicals. Get back to the Bible. Know your doctrine. Justification by faith, Martin Luther. Assurance of salvation, John Calvin. Sovereignty of God, Jonathan Edwards. And they say, until you get back to the Word, the honor of God's name will not be restored. What's wrong with that emphasis? Nothing. It's exactly right. It's what I believe. Take those on the Spirit side. What is the message? Oh, well, we need to get back to the book of Acts, where there were signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit in operation. When they had a prayer meeting, the place was shaken. Get into Peter's shadow, healed. Light of the Holy Spirit struck dead right on the spot. And until we have that kind of power, the honor of God's name will not be restored. What's wrong with that emphasis? Nothing. It's exactly right. But the trouble is, wherever I go, almost, I'm sorry to say, without exception, almost, it's one or the other. I'm a member of a Word church. And then there are Spirit churches. And the Word people, you tell them you need the Holy Spirit. They say, well, we've got the Holy Spirit. You can't, they don't get it. Talk to Spirit churches, you need good theology. They don't even know their Bibles, so many of them. Spirit churches, they don't know their Bibles. They want a rainbow word all the time. And you see, and you wonder, what's going on in the world? The world has no respect for the church. The world thumbs their nose at the church. Doesn't seem to bother us. There was a day when Mary, Queen of Scots, said she feared the army of, she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000 men. She feared the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000 men. But today, no one respects the church. And one of the reasons is the presence of God. Presence of God. We forgot just what that's like. And in order to sense the manifest presence of God, you must know His Word. And when He's not present, it's unconscious. You don't feel anything, but you love Him anyway. My friend Arthur Blessed, who carries a cross around the world, was carrying the cross in northern Israel. And normally, before sundown, he'd find a place to spend the night. But for some reason, he didn't manage, and it was getting dark, and he had no place to go, and there was this bus stop where there was a bench, but nothing over it. And Arthur lay on the bench. It started to rain. And Arthur looked at the rain and said, "In the name of Jesus, stop!" It rained all the harder. Lightning, thunder, water beat in Arthur's face. And Arthur just looked up to God and said, "God, I love you." When you feel nothing and He doesn't answer your prayer, can you set Him before you and say, "I love you. I know you're there. You promise I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." You see, this is the kind of teaching, in my opinion, that is needed today. The importance of bringing Word and Spirit together. And to honor God when you feel Him, and honor Him when you don't. And you see, God can show up in various ways. There are times when all you want to do is just praise Him and sing. There are times when fear of God comes on the people. Did you know on the day of Pentecost, great fear came on everybody? When Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead, fear came on the people. Well, you say, "Well, tell me more what you mean about Word and Spirit." Word? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? If you were to stand before God, this is question number two, and He were to ask you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? Suppose you had a sheet of paper before you, got a pen. I want you to pretend you got that sheet of paper, and in your mind, write down your answer. God says, "Why should I let you in?" And it's the real deal. But suppose you're standing before God, and you've got nobody to coach you, whisper the answer. You won't have anybody to help you out. You're standing before Him, and you've got to give the right answer. And there's only one answer. You give the wrong answer, you've got to go someplace else. You don't want to go there. What would you say? You know what you would have said a moment ago. I must say to you lovingly, as I know how, if you wrote anything other than saying, "I'm trusting the death of Jesus to get to heaven," if you didn't write that down, or the equivalent, "I'm trusting His blood, I'm trusting what He did for me," if you didn't write that down, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for anything in the world. But if you didn't write that down, you need to find out the real gospel. It's what Martin Luther discovered. I didn't come here to mention Luther. I didn't know you'd had this intimate connection. I'm thrilled about it. You see, this is what Martin Luther fought for. He was all alone. And he was trying to save his own soul. And he came to see that it was faith plus nothing. Faith in what Jesus did for him on the cross. Faith, not works. Some of you, I suspect, I don't know this, but I'd be willing to predict if you're typical. wrote down, I've tried to live a good life. I've done my best. I was brought up in a Christian home. I was baptized. You know, all those things, not one of them will save you. Not even come close. If you're trusting what you've done for God, you try to do this, if that's your hope, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for anything in the world. But you need to pray this prayer right now, wherever you are. Say it in your heart, not out loud. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash my sins away by your blood. I welcome your Holy Spirit into my heart. As best as I know how, I give you my life. Did you pray that prayer? Did you pray that prayer? Why do you ask RT? Well, I just think it's a good question to ask. Are you ashamed that you prayed that prayer? Why do you ask that? Well, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. We're talking about affirming the presence of God and affirming His Word. And the most important thing of all, the most important thing, is where will you be 100 years from now? And if you do not know the right answer to that question, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. But if you just prayed that prayer and are not ashamed of it, I'm going to ask you to do something that you probably didn't expect. And I didn't come in here with this. But if you prayed that prayer, I wonder if you've got the courage to share it with us. In the next 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, to stand up. Ooh, there's one. There's another. There's another. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I think others prayed it. Look at this beautiful sight. I want you to look at you. Look around. Stand up, Pastor. I want you to see them. Anybody else? Look on this side. Look over here. This is good. Anybody else? Wonderful moment. This is affirming the Word. This is what matters. And then we're ready to talk about the presence of God. It's a way of saying, Lord, I will love you. If I feel your presence, wonderful. But if you're not there, I will set you before you. They're still standing. They're getting up. Okay, be seated. Now, there are two categories of people that just stood. One, it's not that you were just born again, although it could be. If you've never done this before or never embraced this gospel, the Bible says you've just been born again. Happy birthday. But chances are you were saved before today. But when you heard the gospel put, as I did, you wanted it. You said, yes, which shows the Holy Spirit's there. The presence of God is in you. And you wanted to affirm His presence. I think I've said enough. Heavenly Father, take this word and apply this word by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.